It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of the Sick Podcast Recruits Draftcast. The U18s are starting in a week, and we have our first preliminary roster. There's still some adds to be made, but we're going to dissect Canada's U18 team as it stands today. We're going to look at some potential additions to the squad. As always, we're going to get to Rocco's Riser of the Week a little bit later. Grant has his own Prospect of the Week. And for Habs fans, we got our Habs Prospect of the Week. Let's get into it.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. Sick Podcast. Recruits Draft Cast.
And with the first overall selection in the 2023 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks are very proud to select from the Regina Pats, the Western Hockey League, Connor Bedard.
The sickest NHL draft and scouting podcast. It's going to be sick.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Producer Shane here. Grant McCagg, Rocco Zappia. Gentlemen, how are we today?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Are we not fantastic today or what?
Oh, you can be whatever you want. You can be fantastic. All right. I know you're a bit sick, so
Well, I called you stupendous. I called you stupendous the other day on Twitter. That was just, I gave you an idea. That was a hint as to what you could, you know.
Sorry.
Another modifier for you.
Must have gone over my head. My bad. But you did say that, and I appreciate the compliment. I appreciate you, Grant, for helping me get together with Robin Lane there after the Habs game. If you haven't watched it yet, we interviewed Rob Hudson recently. I mean, a lot of people have seen it. It's been quite popular. But if you haven't, after this episode, do go check it out. And I got a chance to meet the both of them, so they were awesome. Absolutely great people. Cool. U18s, guys. U18s is coming up. Interesting roster. There's going to be, obviously, we talked about certain guys who won't be there due to injury, namely, you know, Berkeley Catton, Kane Lindstrom for Team Canada. But we have our first preliminary roster, as if you will, of players who should participate, some that might not, depending on who gets eliminated here in these playoffs. But Grant, you want to jump in on this and give us your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I didn't get complete verification, but I do believe that the Canadians are going to add six more to the roster, which will mean some of these guys, you know, and I mean, they've done it in the past, right? And it's usually underage guys. They'll bring them over, and I do believe they play an exhibition game or two, get the kids in there, get them a feel for it, right? And when they bring in the six guys that are eliminated in the second round, send three guys home and have a roster of 23. So I didn't get that completely confirmed. Even Bob McKenzie didn't know. So that made me feel better that I didn't know, but he's an outsider now, as he calls himself. So, you know, he doesn't have all the inside stuff anymore, but getting to the I think there's eight underage guys here.
Yeah.
Which surprised me a little bit. Because I think it's a strong draft, but really when you look at this roster, and especially the forwards, I mean, the underage guys that they invited are good. Mm-hmm. And, McKenna was an obvious choice, right? But Martone, Spence, and McQueen all played at the Hlinka in the summer. So no surprise there that they got invited again. And I'd be surprised if they don't make the final roster. You're probably, I think Desnoyers, even though you had a good, you had a good year, probably be one of the guys that's on the outside looking in for the final roster. But hey, he's a great prospect for next year, and get him the experience, and then bring him back for other tournaments later. On defense, then Aitchison, Hamilton, and Schaefer are all the underage guys. They're the most likely candidates to, two of the three probably won't make the final team. And then they've got the two goalies, which when we did our list 2 or 3 weeks ago, those were the guys, right, that we expected. No surprises really on the roster. If there was a guy maybe that I'd say that I thought might get invited instead of one of the underage defensemen, it would have been the kid Colton Roberts playing in Vancouver. But hey, when we bring up the list of the guys, I made a list of 7 guys that I think are the best bets to be the ones that are added. 3 of them are defensemen, and no surprise on any of the 3 being picked over Roberts, and I'll explain why. Mm-hmm. What do you think there, Rocco?
Yeah, I'd echo, like, 8 underagers is that's a lot. The guys they picked are good. But I do agree, probably a couple of these guys get sent home. But don't be surprised if we see guys like McKenna and Martone and Spence are asked to carry some of the offensive load in a legitimate capacity. Like, those aren't just token guys who are on the team. I think because of the guys, the Canadian forwards that aren't available, either because they're still in CHL playoffs or USHL playoffs, or their name's Celebrini and they're probably going to go to the World Championships. That's a lot of their higher end offensive players that would have been available. And especially when you factor in Lindstrom and Catton not being there, these underagers might have to carry some of the load that maybe they weren't expected to when you thought, a Lindstrom or a Catton might be available to you. And then for the defenseman, I think, and we'll get to the names that are going to be added, Grant. I know you want to touch on that, but similar feelings where those underage guys, and it's good though, because they're going to be able to go back next year or maybe to the Hlinka, and they'll have that experience, even if it is just a couple exhibition games. But I am interested to see where, you've got Luchenko and Greentree that can form 2/3 of a pretty good scoring line, and McKenna and Spence and Martone can be sprinkled in your top 6. So we might see a Canada team that has 3 of their top 6, or at least maybe 7 forwards are underage players here, which would be pretty interesting. But depending who they add, I still think this could be a pretty strong team. It is deep. It's quite deep, as Canada always is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I think it's one of the stronger groups that they've sent in recent years, especially if they add the guys that are expected to be added.
Yeah, so aside from a couple of those underagers, right? Like, none of those names are like, oh, what's this guy doing on the team? Like, every single one of those guys are like, yeah, I'd like that guy, and they have a good mix there. I think Gavin McKenna, if he's not already a household name as far as prospects go, anyone who watches this tournament's about to find out, man, he's one of my absolute favorite players in all of junior hockey to watch. And we get to watch him for 2 more seasons after this, which is great.
It's crazy to think that he's not eligible to get drafted until 2026.
It's
absurd.
It's unbelievable. And like, as the season went on, he just got better and better and more confident. And he was flat out dominant player. He'd be a shoo-in first rounder this year, and he's 2 years away from his draft. It's pretty crazy.
it's nuts. Whoever wins that lottery, yeah, congratulations, you got your guy. So let's get into the guys who could potentially be added to the team. For those of you who are listening and not watching, I'll name them for you. We got Henry Muse, Frank Morelli, Terrence Smith, TJ Ginla, Michael Hage, Ole Josephson, and Maxim Massé. So, Grant, what is your thought process here?
Yeah.
Who do you want maybe coming out for who's coming in? Talk to me.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I don't know. Every draft year, I don't really study the underage guys that well. Like, there a couple of the defensemen on there, honestly, I did not watch all year because I just don't, you know, I have 500 plus guys to scout as it is for the draft each year. And I just don't have the time to be, because it's not that important how good they are or how they play in their underage years. It's how they play in their draft year. Like Schaefer, for instance, I don't know. I can't tell you if he should be on the team or not. Didn't really watch Aitchison. And then the other kid that I don't even have the list in front of me that I can't even think of his name right now. But the three underage defensemen, I can't really tell you which of those guys is the one that should be on the team. But Muse and Morelli both played in the U18s in the summer. They were at the Olympia. Typically, and they both played like big minutes in the gold medal game and most of the tournament. Now, do I think Morelli should be on the team? Maybe not. Like, I certainly don't have him ranked high in the draft, but that's not, this isn't a team that's going to, you know, it's not a draft party tournament. It's who's the best juniors, who can help them on the big ice, who can help them win a gold medal at the under 18s. And Morelli was really heavily, I talked to the coach, Al Letang, and he sang his praises, and he'll certainly have told the Hockey Canada group just how.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Valuable he was for that team, and I wouldn't be surprised if it's the 267s guys that end up going. Terrence Smith had like 48 points this year, so a good offensive defenseman. And if they don't take Morelli, I'm pretty sure Muse is a lock as an invite. Then it'll be Smith will be the other defenseman I think that they'll add, and then mm-hmm. two underagers. Possibly Aitchison and Schaefer will, you know, won't make the squad up front. Well, again, I don't think we need to explain that one too much. He's a lock. If Kelowna gets beat out, they won game four last night, squeaked it out. So the series goes on, and I'm not exactly sure don't know that they'll be adding guys that go to seven games in the second round. I think they're probably going to bring them all over, guys that are gone by the sixth game. Now, Hage, he scored 3 points in his first playoff game, but they're in a best of three and not in the USHL and not Chicago's, you know, not supposed to make it. And if they don't, I think he's a decent bet because of Lindstrom and Catton not being invited. There aren't that many draft eligible guys, the older guys that are in Hage's class. So I think Hage, I've heard both pronunciations. I think he's a good bet to be added if Chicago's eliminated. And then it's the other two guys that it's a toss up. If they are bringing six, though, and only two defensemen, then I think all four will make it. Massé, we've known about him all year. He's fairly highly regarded. I think he can be a fourth-line guy on your U18 team, and same with Josephson, bottom-line guys that can contribute. Josephson was on the Hlinka team, and I thought he was outstanding, playing a defensive center role, and I think that that would be what he would bring to the U18 team if Red Deer gets eliminated, and it's sure looking that way. So those, I think, are the seven guys that are the best bets to be in the mix to be added.
Yeah. I was looking at these guys as well, and I came up with an incredibly similar list to Grant here. I think Muse and Morelli are both, you know, that series, they're playing against Oshawa, and we're going to that game tonight, but Ottawa's down in that series, and they could be eliminated. They could be eliminated as early as tonight, but the team they're playing, Oshawa, has two defensemen as well. Another Morelli, Luca Morelli, and then Ben Danford. So if the 67s guys aren't there, you're gonna see at least one of the Generals there. And then same thing with Teej Aginla in his series. They're against Parisak's team, right? So you're gonna get Aginla / Parisak. One of those guys would be available, and then either the 67s or the Generals defenseman will be available. Only one of those teams is gonna move on, obviously. Then Josephson and Massey, those two names, I agree completely, especially given both of their history with Hockey Canada. Hockey Canada likes familiarity. So those are the obvious names that stood out to me as well. I would love to see Haig there again, or Hage against, or on the same team and against, you know, against other CHL players. So we can really, you know, the USHL and the CHL, they're close when you watch them, but to have them on the same ice, that would really help, I think, sort out where he belongs in that group, because he's a name, I think, that's really taken off in the second half of the year. People are realizing how smart of a player he is. So I would love to see him in this tournament specifically. And then touch on Frankie Morelli. I'm with Grant on that one, where I don't have him super high as an NHL draft prospect, but I absolutely love this kid as a junior. He's a heart and soul defenseman, heart and soul player. He really gives you everything that you could ask of him. I'm not sold on what his upside is as a pro, but he's the kind of kid that whatever ability has been given to him in his body, he's going to be able to extract it. So that's a guy that I think would really play well. And just be a solid player at that tournament, despite the fact that maybe we don't have him super high on our NHL draft list. Now, there's one other name that I'm going to throw out there, and, you know, not expected to be available, but, you know, Saginaw and Sault Ste. Marie, they're tied 2-2 in their series. We could see Zane Parekh. If the Sioux ends up beating out Saginaw in this second round series, then he becomes potentially available as well, but
no, he won't be going because they're in the Memorial Cup. They won't.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's right. They're hosting. Sorry, my mistake. Yeah, yeah. Oh my god, what a brain fart! Jeez. Okay, I'm gonna get ripped. I deserve to get ripped in the comments for that one. Go ahead.
I would have added him to the list if you know they weren't playing in the Memorial Cup. But yeah. They won't do that, like send the guy over and then bring him back.
No. You know? I take that all back. That was dumb.
No, that's fine.
That's okay. But anyways, the rest kind of makes sense. So I'm on board with those names. They were more or less the same ones that I was able to put together.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm surprised about Robert not being there.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, they know that it'll be either Morelli and Danford or Muse and Morelli.
They got a Morelli jersey ready to go for sure.
So I think that they, you know, that they figured, well, we'll bring the kids over for the experience. We like those four potential ads more than Roberts, and he wouldn't have made the team anyway. So, or been the, you know, spare. And I think they'd rather have a U18 an underage guy as a spare over there.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, bringing Roberts and not playing him. So I understand that. Although I do find it funny that, you know, for the U18s every year, that Hockey Canada brings a pile of underage guys typically. But yet then for the World Junior Tournament, they, you know, you're lucky if they, if one draft eligible guy is there. It's always the vets. The 19-year-olds, they really rely on the veterans for the U-20 team. But then they have an opposite kind of, you know, approach to it for the U-18s, which just, it seems a little curious as to why, you know, you could have six or seven underage guys, even a guy that's not eligible for two more drafts there. They can play in the U-18s, but over, you know, over guys, draft eligible guys, 18-year-olds, 17-year-olds, but for the U-20s, they, like, why didn't they invite Lindstrom? I still don't understand why Lindstrom couldn't have been at the U-20s instead of Nolan O'Lard, for instance. Or, like, I just, if their thought is, well, you want the veterans, well, why is it a different thought for the U-18s? It just seems like there's an inconsistent plan there. So that's the one, if there's one beef I have with Hockey Canada when it comes to these selections, it would be that.
The only thing I'd say on that, and I'm just came to my head now, but the only reason I could think maybe availability may have a little bit to do with it. Every player is available, you know, for the World Juniors. The CHL lets everyone go for that. Not everyone can go to the U-18. Some of them are still playing, and I think, like we saw there, you know, maybe some of their top offensive guys were not available to them, so they're taking some higher skilled underage guys. But I tend to agree with you there. If they're good enough to make the jump at that level, they should be in theory good enough to still make the jump 2 years later. And then Canada could have used Lindstrom. It's not just Ellard. He's not the only guy that we want to pick on. I think Lindstrom could have been there and made a difference on that team ahead of quite a few guys.
Yeah, I brought him up as an example, perhaps, yeah, because he hasn't even been drafted, and it was a surprise that he
made the team.
And I mean, that's a guy with Ottawa Valley roots. So, you know, you're right. I shouldn't be picking on a local guy like that, but it was just an example
That was an easy example. Yeah.
You know, just mostly because he was a surprise. And I thought he played well there. So that's not a knock on him at all. I just, you know, they go with promising guys for the U-18s that are up and comers, but they don't for the U-20s. And I just don't quite understand. And I mean, there have been past tournaments when they've had guys, underage guys on that I didn't think should have been taken over older guys for the U-18 team. So I mean, that group that they have this year, especially up front, I get it, all of them. I think they may all make the team, except for Denoyer. How would you pronounce? Is that
how? Denoyer.
Okay, I'm, you know, Cornoyer. So I was close, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Like I didn't say Denoyers or anything like that. So. Yeah, I remember back in when. 1972, Foster Hewitt did the play-by-play, and Cornoyer got the puck. Cornoyer coming up the ice. And I think they finally, you know, that somebody got to him and said, look, you know, get it a little closer if you can. It's Cornoyer. And he did adjust as the tournament went on, even though he was probably 75 and pretty stubborn, but it was pretty funny. Anyways, getting a little off on a bit of a tangent there.
That's all right. The only other thing with the Canadian team, they're only like the defense you'd like maybe. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Who's their number one defenseman? I mean, I know Alec and Brunick maybe, but I don't think there's a true number one guy. You're maybe missing a guy who could, you know, be your top power play option. And I suppose maybe Mew steps into that role when he gets there, but that'd be the only thing. The forward group is incredibly deep, and you can't really go wrong. There's three or four other names that weren't included that you wouldn't have batted an eye if they had been I don't think so. The forwards, there's no stress there. The goalies are what they are. It's a short tournament. Goalie gets hot or he doesn't. That can happen in a short tournament. So not super concerned about the goaltending position, really. But the defense makes you think a little bit. And not to say that it's a bad decor. They're all solid players. But I just think maybe they're missing a guy who could be 26 minutes a night, first power play, first PK.
Oh, Parekh.
Yeah. I'm going to hear about that. That's fair. I'll take those lumps. Well earned.
But they are
missing maybe a guy who could play that sort of role for them. But other than that, I really like the team.
Well, maybe Yakimchuk can get his burst, give it doctored over the next week.
He just has to go to Russia and he'll be eligible in the calendar. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Right on. So the U18 starts April 25th in Espoo, Finland. I believe I pronounced that correctly. All the way until May 5th. We're going to be covering that. You're going to get all your information right here. And we're going to talk about which prospects impressed, which did not. That'll come next week. So stay tuned for that. Now it's time for Rocco's Riser of the Week. And Rocco, I think you picked the best name in hockey right now, Mr. Johnny Mustard. Let's have a look.
Yeah, we got the Colonel. John Mustard's. We got a 6-foot, 180-pound left winger for the Waterloo Blackhawks of the USHL. Really, really strong rookie season for him. I think he played a lot better than maybe people were expecting him to at the start of the year. He finished with 29 goals and 56 points in 60 regular season games played, shutout in two playoff games so far. This is their first playoff game in a 1-0 loss. He was quite good in this game. He did finish the season on a little bit of a slower note. So it's funny that we're using him as a riser this week. He only had 11 points in his last 20 games, but 7 of those were goals, and he was still firing between 3.5 and 4 shots a game on average. So it's not like he wasn't getting his looks. Just, hey, that's what happens. That's what happens with offensive players sometimes. So he's a goal scoring winger, I think, for the most part, more than a playmaker. He likes to shoot first, ask questions later. If this guy's in a position to shoot the puck and put it on net, he's going to do it. I looked through most of his games. He's pushing between 7 and 11 shot attempts, not all of them on goal, but shot attempts per game. So that's what he's looking to do when he gets going in, and he's quite good. His shot is quite dangerous. He doesn't get a goal in this game, but he has several good looks where you can tell he's dangerous, and you can tell he's the other team knows where he is on the ice. Also the shooter on the faceoff set up for his team. So the team wants him shooting the puck. So you like to see that because, you know, it's not just him thinking he's a shooter. The team puts him in those positions. So you like that confidence from the coaching staff as well. One thing that really stood out for him, in addition to his shooting ability, is his compete level. I found that he's got a very, very high motor, and, you know, from some quotes that I could find from his coaches and teammates and the like, that seems to be a pretty common theme, that he goes in and he works his butt off day in, day out, whether that be in the game like you see here or on the practice ice as well. That's something that he seems to be getting a bit of a reputation for, and that's a reputation that you want to have. His skating is quite good when he gets up to top speed. I found he looked a little bit awkward sometimes skating, but I don't know, that could just be, that could be a whole pile of things, tired at the end of the shift. But when he gets up and going, man, he can really, really fly, and he can beat guys to the outside. He changes direction fairly well. Although I would say he's a little bit more of a north-south skater than he is east-west edge work type of quickness type of player, if that makes sense. But when he gets going, he can really fly. Like I said, his shot is quite good. So up and down the wing, that's something that I noticed a lot in my notes, is, you know, strong rush through the neutral zone, gains his own wide shot, and maybe almost to a fault he leans on that play, but he is quite effective of coming down the wing with speed and getting the puck into a dangerous scoring area or getting a shot on goal himself. Puck carrying is quite good as well. You know, the speed helps with that for sure, but I don't find he has the craziest hands. You know, he's not making guys, he's not putting jock straps up in rafters with with Deeks and that sort of thing. He does rely on his speed and a north-south game more than he does a stick handling ability and playmaking. But that's not to say that he doesn't have puck skills, because he certainly does. It's just, you know, he is what he is. He's a shoot first player. Good defensive effort, I found, for a draft eligible winger. You don't always see that, especially for a guy that is relied on to produce scoring. So you're happy to see that. And he wasn't perfect in the defensive zone, but his effort level was there. So there's nothing on the defensive side of the puck that's so complicated he can't learn. And as long as he's willing to maintain that consistent work ethic, then that the details will come. But for the most part, he did a very, very good job in his own end. The one thing that I would say is he could stand to use a little versatility in his game, because he is so up and down the wing, speed shot. He can be a little predictable at times. I think a lot of times teams know that's the play he's looking for. So maybe look into the middle might not hurt him, but maybe that's being a little nitpicky, because he is very good at the things that he likes to incorporate into his game. This guy, I don't see him as a first rounder, but he is someone that I've noticed, and not just on our list, but a lot of lists, he's steadily climbed just a little bit here and there throughout the year. And he's a guy, based on what I've saw from his play in the two playoff games, and I watch another random regular season game as well. He looks like a player that could go in the second round and maybe has some offensive upside to his game there if he can round things out a little bit. But with the skating and the shooting ability and the effort level, that's a pretty good place to start for a second round winger. Pretty intriguing player. So I'm curious to see where he ends up.
Oh, you're muted.
We mentioned him during, sorry about that. We mentioned him during Rob Hudson's telecast there too. Yeah. So that's two out of three that he's been on there. But he mentioned he coached him in Chicago as a, I don't know, 13-year-old, something like that. And along with Sean Behrens and a couple other guys. So Rob's had a lot of really good players through the Chicago ranks, but he's I believe he's an Ontario boy that's gone to play in the US. He first caught my eye at the All-American game, the top US top prospects game. I thought he was the best player at that game, and it had a lot of good talent. So hadn't really heard a lot about him up until then, but I've been keeping an eye on him in the second half. And I agree with Rocco that he might end up in the second round on our final list. He's certainly in the mix there. And I think he's a really good prospect.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic stuff there. I mean, I feel like this year is the food name draft. We got Kool-Aid McKinstry going in the NFL draft. Johnny Mustard. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. All right. We need more cool names. I mean, that's one thing the NFL is beating us at. I mean, they got like the Coldest Crawford, Kool-Aid McKinstry. I could name a few more. We need some more cool names in the NHL.
There you go. Yeah.
All right. So,
yeah. I relish the thought.
Oh, you had to get it. You had to get it in there. Yeah, too easy. It's too easy. So Johnny Mustard is Rocco's riser of the week. Well earned there. Grant, it's time for your prospect of the week. And it's one of the more polarizing prospects, that being Justin Poirier. Let's have a look.
Yeah, well, Justin. Justin. He's Poirier. He's a goal scorer, right? He's 51 goals. I think I read somewhere where he's the first Q draft eligible prospect since Crosby to score 50.
Yeah.
I think that might be the case. So that's notable. you know, and okay, that's fine. So 50 in the regular season. Yeah, kid. What can you do in the playoffs? Well, How about 10 goals in his first 8 games, the playoffs, in two four-game sweeps? He's 5'7" and a quarter, but he weighs about 180. I think he's listed at 181. So he's a little fire hydrant out there. And you notice even these are highlights from that I got from the Charlottetown series. He's tough. You know, when they're built low to the ground and they're stocky like that, not easy to knock them over. And he kind of barges through guys at the junior level, at least. It'll obviously get tougher in pro, but at this level, at least he's not easy to knock down. You don't see Cole Caulfield get knocked down that much either, right? It's just sometimes the smaller guys, if they're they got the strong lower body and low to the ground like that, and are aware out there, they don't get knocked down too much. And I find here's an example where he just kind of powered around the guy, and then boom, he's got a wicked shot. I mean, it's a lot of it's about his shot. You know, look at the way
split.
Yeah, so he's he's flexible, right? yeah. He can do the splits. We know that. Maybe he played little nets when he was a kid or something. But no, it's this kid's growing on me. I mean, talking to the scouts all year and too small, blah blah blah. All he does is shoot. Yeah, okay, but he kept scoring goals. And I mean, the second half of the year, he has 19 goals in his last 18 games, including playoffs. God. So. I mean, you got to give it to the kid. He's a goal scorer. And, you know, you start looking and trying to slot where you put a guy like this, and it's tough because he's a bit of a choppy skater. He's not typically you want the, did we go right to the other one? These are all his goals. These are the 10 goals that he scored in the playoffs. So just to give you a better idea of his hands, you know, his shot. I mean, I think what's kind of cool too is that, I mean, 10 goals in 8 playoff games. And what's remarkable is that he doesn't turn 18 till September. So, I can't think of too many. Last year, I remember Bedard scored 10 goals in 7 games, and we thought that was remarkable. Well, this kid's done it. Oh, look at this celebration.
Selfie.
That was to end the series last night in overtime, fourth game. In the other team's rink, he's a bit of a hot dog when it comes to that celebrating stuff. I've noticed just about everyone, he does a little, see this now? He's got a little something there. I don't know. I'm not crazy about that stuff, but hey, you know, he can back it up with goals, I guess. But you just see... in all these highlights, just the shot he's got. Great shot. He, just like every goal scorer, he gets to the scoring areas and then he puts it in. Great one-timer. He's not necessarily a passer. You know, he's got 3 assists so far and 10 goals. So he's going to always be a Cy Young candidate, you know, but he does, he does distribute the puck, but with the intent of getting it back, right? But he's, Bakehomo swept both their series, and he scored 10 goals, and the next best on the team was 5. So the little kiss to the crowd.
Small, pretty girl.
Obviously, his shot is his bread and butter, and, he shoots as often as he can. He's averaged 5.5 shots per game through his first 8. So, I mean, you got to hand it to the kid. It's going to be really, really interesting to see. Well, there's where he powers around. Mm-hmm. You'll see it again here. He's a pretty strong kid, right? So certainly at the junior level, there's no issue with his size. You know, he's short, but he's strong and stocky. So, I mean, we've seen it with DeBrincat. He reminds me a little bit of DeBrincat, where he's not as good a skater as Caulfield. Caulfield's got that explosiveness, so I don't think he'll ever be in that class. But, you know, when I was mentioning him to Rocco, he brought up a good name. Was it Adam?
Mastering, yeah.
He, you know, is he, you're saying, is he more like Mastering or more like DeBrincat? And I kind of said, you know, I think he's somewhere in between. Where, you know, Mastering never really made the NHL, never really got a look. And obviously DeBrincat did and has excelled. I think he's kind of somewhere in between those two, and that he'll likely get NHL looks, and whether he makes it permanently or not will be the issue. You know, his floor isn't that high, but his ceiling is high. Mm-hmm. So if he does make the NHL, if he improves his skating enough and the other parts of his game enough to play in the NHL, he'll score goals, because this kid could score goals. Like all goal scorers, they can score at any level if they get the opportunity, and that they win the coach's confidence. You know, he'll score goals. He has a nose for the net. He knows how to get to rebounds. He just a knack for getting to the puck, getting to the scoring areas, and a great shot. So all of those things combined add up to a goal scorer. He'll be a goal scorer in the AHL. I'm sure he'll go to the AHL. I can't see him making the jump to the NHL right away, but he'll score there. He'll likely get an NHL opportunity. And if he, you know, if the coach likes him, he'll get his chance, and he'll become an NHL goal scorer. So mm-hmm. Where do you slot a guy like that? Depends on the team to a certain extent. If a team like Montreal, for instance, probably not going to look at him in the top two rounds, because they already have a few smaller guys, and it'd be more likely to be a team that thinks they can insulate him. They've got a big lineup and there's a spot there for a smaller guy that they can fit in, and they have a need for a goal scorer. So you start to wonder, right, towards the end of the second round. I mean, the number of guys that make the NHL, like the percentage of guys that make the NHL out of the second round on, is not very high. Mm-hmm. Actually, I got the answer from Brian. I didn't look earlier, but he said it's basically from 50 on in the second round, 20% make the NHL. You know, and I was telling a scout about, you know, he might go in the second round. He said, oh, it's risky. Yeah, well, 80% of the guys don't make it. They're all risky. Yeah. By the 50 mark in the NHL draft, the player that you're taking is risky. So why not risk it on a guy that, if he does make it, could be a 25 to 35 goal scorer in the NHL? So I wouldn't be surprised if a team that says, look, we need goal scoring, we've got a big lineup, maybe even a team with extra second round picks says, let's take a flyer on the 5'7.25 guy. You know, mm-hmm. DeBrincat went later than he should have. Caulfield went later than he should have. So do you pass on the guy till the third, fourth round, and he ends up being a 30 goal scorer? You're going to regret it. So, you know, I don't know that I'm going to rank him in the second round, but I'm certainly, I mean, when they prove it in the playoffs like that, when he's dominating, you know, top goal scorer in the Q playoffs, it impresses me. And the kid, so, I mean, he's climbing up my list, and I might, you know, we'll discuss it with Rocco, and we'll keep looking at him and talk to scouts about it and stuff. But he might at the end of the day be a second round guy.
He looked like a guy just based on that video and what you know about him, somewhere in the 50 to 100 range, which puts you towards the end of the second, through the very early part of the fourth, in that range. And oh, I was you couldn't see me on because you had the video up, but I was making good and bad faces behind, because, you know, this kind of kid that I would typically, I don't like small, I don't like typically bad skaters, and I sure as you know what, don't like hot dogs. And he's all three of those. But right. then you look at the kind of goals that he scores, and I'm like, oh, that one would go in, that one would go in, that one's going in on a pro goalie, that's going in on a pro goalie, that's going in on a pro goalie. So that's like, okay, well, how good is that aspect versus the things that you don't like about him? And obviously that's why we're talking about the kid in the 50 to 80 range or whatever, rather than the first round, because if you're scoring 50 goals and you have that kind of shot, you probably are a first rounder, unless you're 5'7" hot dog. So the negatives there are very obvious, and he needs to go in a situation. I think a guy like that, it's super important that he goes into a situation with an organization that really believes in him, that really takes an interest in developing, because he's not a typical, he's a very atypical prospect, right? There's not a lot of guys who are legitimate prospects at that size. And there's not a lot of guys who can shoot the puck like that. So he's got a couple of unique things going for him. And I think that's someone much like a guy, and they're very, very, very different players, but Connor Garland, who was in junior, used to drive me absolutely mental up the wall. But he got into a situation where he was given an opportunity and he was coached and he was taught to play a better, more translatable game. And he's a full-time NHL player that has done that's a dangerous offensive player at times in the league. So you've seen it. You see it time and time again where guys that have big warts can overcome them. I couldn't stand DeBrincat, as is probably no surprise in his draft year. Masker neither. There's two guys I didn't like, right? But those are the kind of guys that can burn you, because you may be guilty of overlooking an elite, elite, elite offensive tool, which he absolutely has, because of things that you, for one way or another, typically gives you the ick about a player. So you got to be careful that you're not undervaluing guys like that. But at the same time, Grant mentioned, you know, ceiling and floor, and I don't think he has either one. He doesn't have a floor. His floor is zero, and I don't think he has a ceiling, because he could go score 35, 40 goals if everything goes right and he becomes the trigger man on a first power play unit. He has that yeah. kind of shot, right? Like, you know, you don't have to be the most complete player. Like Dominik Kubalík scored 30 goals in the NHL because he has an incredible shot and nothing else, right? So you see it. So wouldn't surprise me if he became an offensive force. Wouldn't surprise me if he never played a game in the league. So whoever takes him, they need to have confidence and they need to have faith, and they need to be willing to go through a little bit of a different development plan with a guy that has some unique characteristics. And if he's nurtured the right way and taught the right way and put in the right environment, why not? Because, I mean, you can't – ooh, that shot is something else, man. Oh, my goodness, he can fire the puck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, at the pro level, he'll be taught not to do those
yeah. Sorry. Yeah,
well, yes. You know, they'll take the hot dog out of them pretty quick.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's, again, it's fitting that, you know, on a show where we featured mustard, that we're talking about a hot dog. You know? they'll get that out of them in a hurry, because they say, look, you know, I don't think you want, you know, I don't know, name a big defenseman. Alexiak doing that celebration in front of, you know, Alexiak or, you know, some 6'7" guy, not going to take too kindly to it, right?
Don't do that in front of Morgan Riley.
That's Brady Tkachuk. Brady Tkachuk.
I was going to say Matt Rempe.
Yeah.
Flying by, strumming your guitar, and Rempe goes on his, well, you have to lie down to clothesline him, but.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was thinking Brady from, just what Hischier did there, just the guy that into the net, Brady didn't take too kindly. So, yeah, you know, you wouldn't want to be doing it.
That's an NHL record holder, Brady Tkachuk, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Most hits in a game. We can't take it away. You can't take that away from him.
Next game after, you know, I called him out. What do you do? 16 hits. So
he scored about 10 goals, 100 shots, and 150 yeah. hits since you chirped him.
I
should have done that in October.
I should have.
I know.
And then he also said, you know, I'm sick of, I think today, the quotes or whatever, I'm tired of, you know, it's not good enough not making the playoffs. I'm tired of it every April, 6 years. Yes, Brady.
Yes.
It's time. Get her together, boys. Yeah, I want to see you in the first round, Ottawa, Montreal next year. Bring back memories of Lars Eller and the boys.
That would be something.
Gibra?
Hopefully nobody gets Gryba. Clocked in the middle of the ice, though, this time.
Yeah.
Gryba.
That was not fun.
Whatever his number, what was Eller's number? Whatever his number is.
81.
Yeah. No, I remember.
Oh, yeah, no, I remember. I remember.
Paul McLean, the player number.
Bug Eye said
Bug Eye Seal or something, yeah.
Oh, that was
Walrus, the Walrus. That's it. The
Walrus. Say what you want about Paul McLean's coaching record in Ottawa. My God, he was good for a soundbite. Holy frick.
I love McLean.
Hard not to. Nice. And you know what? He's another guy. Like, I met him a couple times serving at the restaurant, and just nice. Yeah, nice. Unassuming.
Maritimer, you love them all there.
How could you not?
Yeah. What was it when he shake it off or whatever?
Well, the haters going to hate.
Taylor Swift.
When he told his daughter that he got fired, she said, she just told me, shake it off.
Yeah.
That was pretty funny. Wow. I love the guy. But, yeah, I mean, we got to get that rivalry going again, you know. Friggin' what, Ottawa's 1-9 straight? There's no rivalry right now.
No.
Got to get it together. The two teams back in the playoffs, and
they just bully them. That's why
heat it up. Oh yeah.
All right. Let's get back on track.
I'm trying. Yeah. I'm trying to poke the bear a little bit here.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to avoid.
Jack Eyes
quite, you know, was really afraid of DeBrincat, especially. Yeah, yeah. Those were the days. All right.
Here we go. Okay.
Okay. Just so Rocco, goodbye.
Yeah.
I'll send them off.
Yeah.
Rocco, I'll see you next time.
I'll catch you in a couple hours, Grant. I'll see you at the 67th game.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can have their season extended. I'd love to watch some more hockey.
Senecky. We're going to see if...
future Montreal Canadian Beckett Senecky.
Oh. See whether he deserves to be picked by Ottawa or Montreal. Mm-hmm. I'm actually, you know, I really don't think that it's a stretch, so... We'll get a better idea tonight.
Oh, he's pushing that top 10 group to put his name in there. I'm looking forward to seeing what he has tonight. Right on. Okay, thanks, gentlemen. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Take care, Rocco. All right. So Justin Poirier is our prospect of the week. And you know, it's funny because Justin grew up in Valleyfield, which is about 5 minutes away from where I live. So special place in my heart for him. I hope he does have success. And his brother, Jeremy, he is a prospect with the Calgary Flames. So there's a connection there, right? Maybe the Flames actually know more about him than other teams. They might actually take a flyer on him maybe earlier than other teams. That could be a fit right there. So something to keep an eye on. But let us know in the comments how high you are on Justin Poirier. Where do you think he's going to get drafted? Could be anywhere from the second to the fourth round. Very hard to tell. That's why I said he's a polarizing prospect. Everybody seems to have differing opinions on him. So, but you can't take away the goals and the performance in the playoffs, which earns him prospect of the week. Now, on to our Habs prospect of the week.
I'll just add there, I don't think that he'll drop to the fourth round now, especially after the playoff.
Some team's going to try.
If only 20% of guys from 50 on make the NHL, you don't pass on a guy that has 60 goals and 10 in the playoffs this year.
That's it.
By pick 80, I can't see him not picking him up. I mean, the draft's not that deep.
No, that's it. Yeah, I'm sure a team is gonna see him available and be like, let's try it. Let's try it, right? Like you guys said, his ceiling and floor are non-existent. You could get a 30 goal scorer. You could get a guy who's not even going to work out in the AHL, right? So let's just give it a try. I think certainly a team is going to do that earlier than we expect. Now on to our Habs prospect of the week. This week is Vinny Roar. Roar. I tried Vinny. I'm sorry. I tried.
Well, he plays for the Lions, which, you know, Zurich Lions. So it's kind of fitting that he's a roarer.
Roar!
Yeah. anyway, He's playing a third line center role for Zurich in the NLA. So he's in the top Swiss league, which is where Reinbacher played this year. And the Lions are roaring through the playoffs, having won 9 straight. So they're in the NLA final now and up 1-0 versus Lausanne. Rohrer, he's averaging more than 15 minutes per game and winning 52% of his draws. So he's only scored 1 goal so far in the playoffs, but he's doing a heck of a job defensively. This kid's, he really pays attention to defensive detail. He's been on the ice for 1 goal against in the playoffs in 135 minutes. That's 0.44 goals against per 60 minutes, which is almost unheard of. And now, considering that he doesn't turn 20 until September, he's 19 and a half. It's an indication of just how mature he is defensively at such a young age. Now, Zurich's plays goals against average in the playoffs is great at 1.22, but that's still like almost 3 times, almost triple the mark of Rohrer when he's on the ice. So he's the best defensive centerman as a 19-year-old, you know, which is amazing, I think. Goals are important, obviously, but it's just as important to prevent them. You know, coaches love this kid. They loved him in Ottawa. I watched him play with the 67s, and, I was surprised that he went to the NLA at 19. He was 18 when the season started, actually. And, but he fooled me. He's playing a regular role in the playoffs, and they're going to the finals and going to win it all. So, it ended up being the best choice for him to go that route, I think. Mm-hmm. Now expect to see a jump in his offensive production next year. I suspect he stays in Zurich another year and gains, as he gains more confidence in the offensive zone, it's not easy playing the Swiss league as a teenager and producing. I mean, the last one to do it with any regularity that I can think of was Austin Matthews. And we've seen what he's become. So,
sure.
Here are the notable plays. And I think what stands out is his competitiveness. The kid just goes. And he hits guys, doesn't matter what size they are. He battles. His head is like on a swivel. He's always looking around. He's never puck watching for more than a split second. Then he looks back, looks all around, make sure that nobody's sneaking in behind him. I just love his defensive awareness. And when you combine it with his smarts, he's just a highly intelligent player. And that was the thing in his draft year that, even though he's like only 5'10 and a half, he's not super fast for his size. He's not a dangler per se. It was just his intelligence and his competitiveness that scouts were really attracted to. I know guys that had him second round in his draft year. So when the Canadians picked him, I believe it was third or fourth. It wasn't a surprise to me because I knew guys that had him ranked in the 50 range. So he goes up against guys in the corners like 5 inches taller and doesn't back down an inch. I find that there's some similarities to his game with Misak, who they just got rid of, mm-hmm. in a trade. I think it was for Perreault?
Perreault.
And it's likely one of the reasons that Sedgwick thought that Misak was expendable, because they've got a very similar type prospect in Rohrer. And there's no rush on him. I think he can probably play in Switzerland 2 or 3 more years before they have to sign him. I'm not exactly sure how long they have, but when they go back over to Europe, the time's extended on when he has to be signed, I do believe, even though he did play in the CHL for a year. But his work ethic is solid. He hustles, back checks, forechecks. He won't hurt you when he's on the ice. If he chooses to come to North America and the Habs sign him, he'll be a player that can help Laval down the road I think he's a winner. He's highly competitive, very intelligent, and someone that can help Laval win hockey games. Now, does he have NHL potential? Maybe. I mean, if you're playing a full-time role in the Swiss League at 19 and one of the better defensive players, that bodes well for a bottom line NHL role someday. So I've been surprised at how much he's developed this year, given how good the Swiss League is, as we've heard, you know, a lot of people talk about with Reinbacher, right? That the Swiss League's good. Mm-hmm. You know, we hadn't featured him all year, and he's kind of another one, just like Philip Eriksson, who we featured, one of the forgotten prospects in the Canadian system that I thought that we should feature. You know, I don't know that I've seen anybody mention it, talking about him much on Twitter this year at all. So I thought I'd give him, you know, things are slowing down. Canadian prospect front, a lot of them are out now. And he's one of the ones that's still going. And, you know, I had a look at him and I was surprised. I looked at the stats and said, wow, especially defensively, to be on for one goal against in 10 playoff games playing a regular center role, that's just amazing for his age. So I'm highly impressed by what I see. And another guy that the Canadians are going to have to consider signing down the road. So, mm-hmm. you know, Canadians are going to need 60 NHL contracts. You know, they only have 50, but with all the prospects and all the picks, they've got 23 more picks in the next two drafts. So
smells like trades.
It's just a bounty of young prospects, and you add it to what we saw at the end of the year, you know, Hudson coming up and impressing, Mayhew coming in and not looking out of place. The Canadiens' future with the young talent is very exciting.
Absolutely. And I mean, there's a few more that we could have featured, right? Philip Meschar is fantastic in Kitchener. He's got like 15 points. He's like second, I believe, in OHL playoff scoring. Owen Beck has like 10 points in 8 games. So Habs prospects are doing well. They're doing well
right now. No, but you know, we featured them a few times both, right? Yeah. All year. And I exchanged an email with Robbie Ramage this week, and he mentioned Rohrer and being in the finals, and I hadn't been really keeping track of him. And he's on Zurich and he's in the finals, you know, just like Engstrom. So two prospects overseas that are in the finals in Europe. And that, I mean, all of the it's just great experience for these kids. And I also think, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's on Austria's team at the World Championships too, right? That'll only be another great experience for him. But hopefully Reinbacher's there too, and the two of them can get acquainted, and maybe he comes over to Laval next year. I don't know what his contract status is with Zurich, but, you know, he could play, based on what I'm seeing there, he could play in Laval next year. If that's absolutely the route he decides to go. So,
yep, it's something to keep an eye on. But I'm hoping that Reinbacher's in the playoffs. That would be better than the World Championships. But let's say that Laval is eliminated, then by all means, go have fun, represent your country.
Well, like the World Championships start. It's not for another few weeks, is it not? Or when do they start?
Good question.
May 20th or something like that, or so. I mean, he could even lose in the first round.
I believe it's May 10th.
Oh, 10th. Well, okay, that makes it a little tighter, but it's only a 3-game series in the first round. And even if Laval, I think Austria wants Reinbacher pretty badly. And they'll make an exception. There's guys that are at it actually, you know, halfway through the World Championships, if you remember, you know, as they're getting eliminated from the NHL playoffs and stuff, they come in. So Laval could conceivably go maybe even to the second round, and he could still play in the World Championships for Austria. So I wouldn't, but yeah, preference wise, they make the playoffs, and they go far, and you know, he doesn't go anywhere, but we'll see what happens.
Best case Ontario. Yep. That's it. All right. That'll be all for us today, folks. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for leaving us a comment, leave a like, leave a subscribe. It always helps the algorithm to pick up the video and throw it on other people's page for them to discover the channel. We've had just such a great time recently, and I mean, it's going to keep going. We got the U18s coming up next week. We're going to be covering that, of course. And then draft lottery is either May 6th or 7th. So that's going to determine, you know, the outlook of this draft here late in June in Vegas. We can't wait. I can't wait. And this is the place to be for that. So don't forget to subscribe. Go check out recruits.ca for all your draft and Habs information. Grant, I'll leave you with the parting words.
Yeah, leave your comments and be sure to give Rocco a dig for
mentioning Perek. Yeah. That's good. All right, everybody, take care. See you in the next one.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast, Recruits Draftcast on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.